listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Family Sanctuary, a show that inspires living the gospel message in word and deed within our families. And now, Family Sanctuary with host Peggy Hartshorn.
Welcome to the Family Sanctuary, a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. I'm your host for today's program, Peggy Hartshorn, Chairman of the Board of Heartbeat International that advances life-affirming pregnancy help around the world. And if you're a regular listener to the program, and I hope you are, you know that one of our favorite subjects here is marriage and the blessings and the challenge of the married life, because it is so key to making our families the sanctuary of life, as God intended. The children, those around the family, the extended family, the neighbors, the world looks to the couple. and when they see that the marriage is something that blesses both the husband and the wife and the family, that marriage is a blessing for the couple and the parish, the community, it's such a hopeful message for the world. It really is. And how can we strengthen the marriages that we have? How can we prepare for better marriages? And two of my favorite guests on the program to speak to that subject are Perry and Marissa Cahal. Welcome again to our program, Perry
Thank
and Marissa.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much for being with us. And we do have other programs with Perry and Marissa in the archives at stgabrielradio.com. And today, well, Perry, let me first give them a little better introduction. Sorry about that. Perry is the academic dean for the School of Theology and a professor of historical theology at the Josephinum. And he's also the author of a scholarly book, The Mystery of Marriage, A Theology of the Body and the Sacrament, which right now is being used in training of priests. But we're hoping he's going to be working on that same subject for us regular married folks. And I'm sure in that respect, relying on his experience, 17 years married to his wife, Marissa, who's also with us today. Welcome, Marissa.
Thank you.
Yeah. And Marissa has a PhD in psychology, and she also teaches at the Josephinum. But as they've been guests on the program, we really have been able to benefit not just from the theological perspective that they can bring and the philosophical perspective, but the practical perspective and perspective of teaching other couples. I know they have, Perry particularly has worked with pre-Cana, so they bring just a wealth of experience and knowledge to this, and I love talking to them about this subject. And we have so much in common as married couples. Now, I know you and you have both been married only 17 years only. I mean, I shouldn't say it that way, but that's good experience. But my husband and I at 49 years, I just love to process how God blesses us in the marriage, and yet the challenges, even no matter how many years we've been married, the challenges are still there and the work is still there in developing Yes. the couple relationship. Today we're going to be focusing in particularly on self-gift. What does it mean to give yourself in marriage? This is a term that John Paul II uses a lot, doesn't he, in
Yes.
theology of the body,
Yes.
self-gift. I love that concept, though, the gift of self. That's what we're really giving to the other person in marriage. How does that translate into daily life? What kinds of things are we giving when we give self? Or what are some of the examples of giving self to the other person? Perry, let's start
Sure.
with your perspective on that.
Well, I think if couples pay attention to the vows that they're speaking to each other when they get married, they realize that they're giving all of themselves and receiving all of the other person. No strings attached,
mm-hmm.
right? It's not, you know, I give all of myself, but this or that, or I receive all of you, right? Except this or that, or, you know, I promise to be true to you as long as we don't have real serious difficulties throughout our life together, or as long as you make six figures throughout the entire married, our married life, or you don't gain more than 30 pounds over the course of our life together or mm-hmm. whatever. It's, I give you me completely and I receive all of you, right? Now, to do that day to day involves the ability to live self-sacrificially for the other person. Right? And I think sacrifice is a word that can be daunting and intimidating to couples.
And it sounds terrible.
It does. But in fact, it's the most beautiful thing there is. I mean, when you look at the crucifix, you know, that's what brings life. Christ's loving sacrifice brings joy to all of us. And in the midst of that suffering, he experienced joy by giving new life to humanity. It's only when we break out of ourselves by being willing to give of ourselves, you know, sacrifice of ourselves, it's only then that we find who we are when we give to that extent. Now, in married life, that takes all kinds of, you know, concrete, what do you want to, incarnations, right? I think the very first thing that couples have to give up, have to sacrifice when they get married is their single lives. Mm-hmm. You know, it's so many young people, they want to have fun, they want to have a good time, and men, I think, are more prone to this than women. When they get married, they think they can continue to live their bachelor life, go out with their buddies, do what they want, without any, you know, without asking their wives or even being concerned about what she might think or feel about this. Mm-hmm. When you get married, you don't belong to yourself anymore. Right, the type of life that you've pledged is that I've given all of myself. My time is not my own. My money is not my own. My very body is not my own. I belong to my wife and she to me. And as we form this joint life project together, it means sacrificing our egos and our selfishness to be able to exist more for the other. And should God, you know, give couples the gift of children, to exist for those children. And there's where you find joy.
Mm-hmm. And simply, practically on a daily level, it can simply be, you know, being just thoughtful to the other person. What would be helpful to that person? What would they wish for? Or what would they, you know, what are their simple needs that I can meet? And it doesn't necessarily mean that one has to be so completely focused on this 100% of the time, but you're trying to incorporate on a daily basis what would be helpful, what would be meaningful, what might be something that might bring that person happiness or joy on a daily basis.
Rather than, I'm thinking, getting up in the morning, I've got my list, I've got my agenda. That's one of my temptations.
Sure.
You know,
yes.
I've got my agenda, everything that has to get done, everything that I have to accomplish. And the relationship with your spouse should not be a obstacle to getting all those things done.
Right.
It needs to be an essential part of your day. I love the way you put it, Marissa, just simply thinking, you know, what does this person need today that I might be able to help with? Putting that person at least on your agenda.
Right.
Yeah.
That's part of being self-gift. There's a priest friend of ours who, now this extends beyond just the couple, but to the family. He probably borrowed this from somewhere. I don't know where he got it. But he said, family, the word, stands for forget about me, I love you.
Wow. Right? That's powerful. Forget about me, I love you. That's what family means.
Yeah.
Gosh, that is profound. But it sounds like, and because you were talking to Perry, you started out with the vows.
Right.
The image that came to my mind was you have a couple that is obviously leading single life. They were trying to prepare for marriage, at least if they're strong Christians, probably their church has some, of course, it's required in the Catholic Church. But how hard is it to be single? And then even if you've been preparing, even for a year or more, 2 years maybe, I know at one other program we talked about at least getting to know each other and understanding how to communicate with the other person. That takes a long process before you know that you're ready to get married. But then all of a sudden, boom, you hear these words, you've made these vows, and now it's not all about me anymore. It's all about you. How hard is that to make that transition?
It can be difficult, and especially that first year of marriage, that's one of the reasons why that's such a growth period for individuals. Once they return from their honeymoon and get settled into the day-to-day of married living, it can be a challenge, and individuals need to be patient with themselves and with each other, and they need to be sure that they are communicating openly with each other, and they need to grow and develop in this basically self-sacrificing manner. And hopefully they have delayed living together until they're married, and you know, hopefully that they can truly be learning how they can be self-sacrificial and share this new life together as a couple, and not just continue on their solo lives.
And if they're not if they haven't made that transition, which I bet 99.9% of couples have not made that transition, or probably never totally ever make that transition, because we are individuals and we do have sinful human nature and we're going to be reverting back to self, self, self. Communication is key, that they have to be able to discuss this with each other. We have a program in the archives with Perry and Marissa on communication. So I would suggest that's another wonderful program to listen to, because the challenge, as we're talking about here, is phenomenal. And I bet the couple hasn't totally transitioned, I'm sure, in their own marriage to making self-gift natural. It's still a struggle, I would imagine, when often children come along.
Oh, sure.
Or perhaps they've gotten married and one has children from a previous marriage or previous relationship. Children are all of a sudden part of this. Mm-hmm. And now it doesn't just mean I'm sacrificing self for my spouse. I'm now sacrificing myself for children. Wow. Right. That's tough.
There are a couple things came to mind as you were talking, Peggy. I mean, one is that there's really no way to kind of practice self-giving or self-sacrifice. You have to do it. It's like riding a bicycle. You learn by doing, and you become better at it as you rely upon the grace that Christ gives us in the sacrament of marriage. He offered the ultimate sacrifice for us. He gives us the grace in the sacrament of matrimony to be able to exist for our spouse, right? To get us to get each other to heaven. But you know, Marissa mentioned within the first year of marriage, couples can have difficulty with this. Statistically, the first 3 to 5 year three to five years of marriage is the crucible period for marriages. It's when most divorces happen. And I think it's because couples really are struggling with giving of themselves, you know, without counting the cost. They're still wanting to hold on to something, you know,
and probably they're not, I would imagine they're not even thinking of it as my problem,
right?
That they may be focusing
blaming
on the other person.
Yeah, correct.
You know, that person's not giving me what I want versus I'm not giving that person what she needs.
And to be clear, like you mentioned this too, it's not something that you work on in the first 3 to 5 years of marriage and you can check that box off the list. No, I mean, you're constantly throughout married life challenging yourself to let go of your own ego so that you can be more present to your spouse and to your children. And it's a lifelong process, right? It never stops. Now, you mentioned children. You know, I think, you know, after those initial phases of marriage where you're giving up, sacrificing, perhaps grieving over the loss of your single life. I don't know. You know, now you move to the stage where God gifts you with children. That's a whole new level of sacrifice. And you're doing that together as a couple. You realize that not only do you have to kind of reorient your agendas, as you said, to kind of fit the children into this day, everything has to be reoriented around the axis of the universe that is your child, right? Your whole life is now focused on this little creature. Mm-hmm. And if couples don't do that well, it causes a lot of problems.
And it's important that couples learn in those early days before children how to reorient themselves to basically, you know, they practice how to sacrifice their own needs and wishes, perhaps to give to the other. Because certainly when children do come, we need to. It necessitates that we put our own wishes on the side, on the back burner, so to speak, in order to meet the needs of the children. You know, we may wish to get certain things done. We may wish to read the latest fiction novel that just came out, but caring for this new life is of the primary importance right now, and that needs to take precedence over whatever my personal needs or wishes or desires might be.
Mm-hmm. For me personally, I think it was easier to be self-sacrificial with our children when they came along than it was for me to be self-sacrificial with my husband, because I think a lot of men do, and my husband was an example, is an example, kind of independent and didn't always share what his needs were. And so I got kind of lulled into the thought that, oh, well, he's fine. You know, everything's, he seems content. He doesn't seem to have a lot of needs that aren't being met because he wasn't sharing them fully. And I wasn't perceptive enough to understand that. So with children, for us, it was so obvious what their needs are. And they they don't just ignore their own needs.
Right.
They're very good at communicating them right. as well. So that for me was the first instance of really understanding what it meant, self-gift, you know, and really sacrificing. Before we continue with that, let me reintroduce our guests in case some people have just joined our program. Today we have Perry and Marissa Cahal, who both teach at the Josephinum. Perry is the academic dean for the School of Theology there at the Josephinum. Marissa also teaches there, but they're coming as experts, living experts, as they are also learning marriage and being married for 17 years. They're members of St. Michael's Parish. And we've done several programs on some practical aspects of marriage with Perry and Marissa. And today we're talking about self-gift, self-giving, or sacrifice in marriage. What is it really? And how do we do it? How do we keep working at it? And we've talked about giving up the single life, giving up self in that way, and then children, and how, of course, God bringing children into the marriage is another challenge. And if we have hopefully learned before the children come along what it means to give, to self-gift, it's going to be easier to make that transition with children. In my case, I really believe that it was the children coming along that helped me understand truly what self-gift meant and also what my husband needed. It was kind of easy to ignore, unfortunately, for me. I'm kind of dense in that way.
No, I don't think so.
But what we're really trying to do is to learn to get on God's plan, right? God has the best plan, not us individually for our marriage. We're trying to get on God's plan. And what is God asking for us? Let's talk about that a little
sure.
bit.
A couple of thoughts. Let me take this back to just prior to marriage, just briefly. Begin talking about God's plan. If engaged couples, you know, or dating couples aren't willing to sacrifice what rightfully belongs to marriage, namely the marital act, right, during their dating and engagement period, then I think it sets them up on a very shaky footing. Because if you can't sacrifice that, what are you willing to sacrifice for your spouse, right? So when you talked about training and sacrifice and how do you, if you're in a serious relationship prior to marriage, that's, I think, a first key step. You know, sex is for marriage, right? And sacrificing that in this phase of your relationship is beginning to train you to set aside your own desires, right, for the good of the other person and for God's plan. So that's just to make that point. Secondly, you know, I think God laughs at many of our plans that we've made, you know, for our lives. And a very good friend of mine was fond of saying that circumstances are God's marching orders, you know, that that ultimately we may have in mind what we would like to do career-wise, right? The size of the home, even the size of your family, right, when you're first getting married. But how all that comes to pass really depends upon the concrete circumstances of your life together and responding to those circumstances. It's not what I want. It's what God wants. And his plan is ultimately much better and will lead us to a greater stage of holiness than we could possibly imagine. So anyway, that's a comment about sacrificing your own agenda, right, as an individual or as a couple.
So what we're saying, and I love that expression, circumstances are God's marching orders. If we're wondering, well, what is God's plan for our marriage or what is God's plan for our family? Let's look at the circumstances that we're in. Right. What has God given us as right. the particular challenges of our marriage or the circumstances? Could it be a loss of a job, for one?
Correct.
Could it be
Health problem.
Serious health. Could it be that we said we wanted three children and guess what? We have four or we right. have five or we have a child with a disability
right.
that we were not planning on, we were not expecting. Let's say we don't have the financial circumstances that we thought for or thought we could have a two person income. But we can't for one reason or another. What are the circumstances of our lives? And we look for God's plan in those circumstances.
Right.
And then what is our response to that?
Yes.
Yeah.
How to responsibly respond to those circumstances that present themselves.
Yeah.
And it also, we need to take into consideration the emotional resources that we have. How are we doing? How are we each doing mentally, emotionally? And how does that determine, how we move forward from here? So we need to take into account that situation as well. There may be stressors or life situations or life changes that we didn't anticipate and plan for. And we need to take that into consideration as we're making those decisions as well. We need to sort of feel out, how is the other person doing? How are they coping? Can they handle more? Can they handle taking on a new job or another child? Or so it's, we have to think of also more than just the financial circumstances, or there's a big picture that we also need to consider.
Mm-hmm.
As an example of this self-gift and self-sacrifice, I recently was talking to some couples learning natural family planning, and the question was asked by someone in the room, how many children should we have? And I said, well, I think only God has the answer to that question, right? But I said, let me run you through this thought exercise. Every one of you in the room, hold in your minds right now, these are all engaged couples. How many, hold in your minds right now the number of children that you would ideally want during the course of your married life together? And I joked, I said, well, hopefully each couple has the same number in mind, right?
Probably not.
Yeah. But then I said, okay, you got the number? They said, yeah. I said, okay, erase the number and never think of it again. And they all kind of stared at me. And I said, the number of children you have over the course of your fertile years as a married couple will be dependent upon the circumstances of your life and the conversation that you have with God about those circumstances. You may have in mind that you want 7 or 8 children, but circumstances may dictate otherwise. You may run into a health issue or financial issue that makes it irresponsible to have that many children, right? Because you can't care for the number of children you already have, or vice versa. Maybe God blesses you with all kinds of resources and you only wanted 2, but there's really no just reason to say no to a third or a fourth or a fifth child.
Mm-hmm.
That's living a self-gift and sacrificing your own agenda for God's plan.
Mm-hmm. And I think you said earlier, God's will is known from the concrete.
Yes. He speaks in the concrete circumstances of our lives. I think too many couples want God to drop a sign down from heaven to show them exactly what to do, but they're still trying to work on their agenda. No, look, he's telling you what to do. Pay attention to what's going on in your life.
This is what he's given you as blessings and as challenges. This is the life you are in. Now, what are you going to do with that?
Yes.
As a couple? Yeah. Marissa, I see you're shaking your head. Do you want to comment on that?
Well, I just think that it's wonderful to think about, people needing to respond to, what it is that they see. There's not going to be necessarily a concrete flash of lightning that's going to tell them what it is they should do, but they can certainly discern from, yes, the circumstances of their life, what God might be calling them to do and how God is calling them to lead their life as a family.
And of course, what God is calling them to do will most likely involve some self-sacrifice.
Yes.
Or giving of self. Let's talk about that, though. I hope we haven't given the impression up to this point that that just creates misery and suffering.
No, that's a good point, yes.
Yeah. Because you mentioned the cross, and that looks to me like misery and suffering.
Right.
No, we know that brought our salvation.
Right.
So something good came from it. But what of the whole process of self-sacrifice? Do we just have to wait till the next world, generally speaking, for the fruit of that?
No, I mean, my wife can probably speak to the psychological benefits of self-giving and sacrifice much better than I can. But from a theological perspective, there's a paradox here. I mean, sacrifice is something that we all kind of shun or run away from in a fallen world. We're all centered on ourselves. But when we give of ourselves and engage in self-sacrifice, we break out of ourselves and experience joy by being in communion with others, with God and with other people. That's what brings us joy.
And ultimately, it brings us closer together. And even when we feel that we're as close as we can possibly be, sometimes going through some of the challenges, going through some of these obstacles or roadblocks, we then afterwards, looking back and say, we feel even closer now than we did then, than we ever thought we could be. And there's a certain joy in that, despite the hardships, despite whatever difficulties that there is joy and happiness in feeling that closeness and that deepness and that emotional intimacy with the other person. Mm-hmm.
Listening to my wife talk, I just thought, to me, one of the most profound but yet most simple joys of married life is knowing that this other person has pledged to go through life with me no matter what. And then, when the no matter what involves sacrifice or maybe even suffering, the fact that you're going through it together brings an intense amount of joy. And it brings an intimacy that you really never thought was possible.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of just recently for my husband and me, you know, the kinds of challenges that you have obviously changed through the years. And just recently, when my mother was aging and had dementia, she ended up coming to live with us, but not for a long period of time. But it was a reminder for me of the wonderful gifts that my husband has, because he was so caring. So he has a great sense of humor. He could make her laugh, you know, at the littlest things, even when she was really sick. And I've seen that gift in him so many times before, actually. His father stayed with us when he was in hospice care. And I've seen it. We used to house pregnant girls as well. And I saw that. So the challenge is what you're saying. That's the example that came to mind for us. I'm sure they will differ as the years go by in your relationship. But seeing the other person giving of self, it just brings you closer. Mm-hmm. It absolutely brings you closer. Well, thank you so much for the sharing that you've provided for us today on this really challenging subject of self-giving. Thank you to our guests, Perry and Marissa Cahal, for being with us again. And thank you all for listening to AM 820 St. Gabriel Catholic Radio with archives at stgabrielradio.com. Our program, The Family Sanctuary, is broadcast at 12:30 on Mondays and 2 o'clock on Sundays. So join us again to strengthen our families and make them sanctuaries of life, as God intended.
Family Sanctuary is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of Family Sanctuary with Peggy Hartshorn are available at stgabrielradio.com.
Veni, Son.